Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the opportunity of coming to your presence. And we ask, Lord, that your name and your name alone be exalted tonight, even in our gathering. And we ask, Lord, that you will take the preeminence, even as you lay table before us tonight, and that, Lord, that you will cause us to partake of that which you have for us tonight, Lord, that no one will miss out. This we ask, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, we want to look at an issue which is very important in the heart of God, and that's the issue of marriage. We want to look at the issue of marriage. In the house of God. And we pray that even the parents will be attentive so that you can see what role God will ask for you to do with regards to your children. Praise the Lord. I want to start by saying that marriage as an idea, as an institution, came from God. It was not man that made it up. So it means that any man, any woman that wants to marry must go to the author of marriage. Because it was God that saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. It was not Adam who saw that it was not good for him to be alone. He wanted a wife. God saw that it was not good enough for Adam to be alone. So he made a mate, somebody that God knew would fulfill that divine purpose, that gap in his life. So, it's therefore very important that we see it from that point of view. Yes, every man, woman you want to marry, I believe that you cannot just marry any person. There is an helpmeet that God has prepared for you. And that is the beginning of a successful marriage in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at three different examples about the concern of the father, you know, for their children. First, it was God concerned about Adam that we just pointed out in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. God saw and God did something about it. But the second one, which is very important, which later on we'll dwell so much about, is that of Abraham for Isaac in Genesis 24. Reading from verse 1 to 4. Where Abraham had a concern for his son, Isaac, and did something about it. The third one in Genesis 28 is the concern of Isaac for Jacob. That was when Esau had already married two women of Canaanite. And they became worried. And they did something. So we'll look at this concern because it is very pertinent. So we as parents, if we want to be concerned about our children, it's not that you go and arrange a wife or husband for your, no. But you go to God and pray for that son or daughter. You leave that person, you leave everything in the hands of the Almighty God who will lead. There are few verses in Proverbs which we want to look at, you know, when it comes to who to marry, where to marry from. The first one, that's Proverbs 18:22. That's a popular one. It says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife. So now it's important that we see as God sees. The man is the one finding a wife, not the other way round. Yes, you will know for a sister, God will show you. But it's not for you to express. It's for the man to find out. He must find out. Amen. Amen. There was the case of which we'll look at, you know, clearly. That was when Eliezer even has gotten a wife for Isaac. As they were going, by the Spirit, he saw a man. That was not the first man he would have seen on the way. Inside of her, you know that by the leading of the Spirit, Eliezer gave her earring. No, golden earring. And with that, he just put it on. This is a man he has never met. But he has seen many men on the way. He never asked Eliezer, "Who is this man?" Until he saw Isaac. He said, "Who is this man?" And Eliezer said, "My master." What did she do? She covered herself. She didn't go to Isaac and jump, "Yes, my husband." She covered herself. And it was the man that went there. So what God is saying is that there is an order. And that order is what we must follow. It's very easy, you know, if we walk in the way and precept of God. So he that findeth a wife, not he that findeth a husband. So men will find their wives. Amen. The second passage we look at is, it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Proverbs 31:30. Who can find? We are told that if you can find a wife, you have found something good. But who can find? Especially, not just any woman, but a virtuous woman. We are going to look at this virtuous woman later on. And in Proverbs 12:4, talking about the same virtuous woman. He said, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. It's a crown to her husband. And there are women that the Bible also saw as not virtuous. Those ones, he said, some of them were a dripping from their husband. They were problems to their husbands. But God is specifying that the daughters of Zion must be virtuous. Because that's the issue there. The daughters of Zion must be virtuous. They are women with virtue. Not women of what people refer to as easy virtue. No. Must be women of virtue. And that's why our price is very high. And not any and any man that should find these virtuous women of God. And that's why for Christians, sisters, you have to know that you are special. And not anybody should become partner with you. Because you say your price is very high. Praise the Lord. Now, this virtuous woman, and the Bible specifies where you can find her. Proverbs 19:4 and Proverbs 15:5. Proverbs 19:4 and Proverbs 15:5. Specify where you can find a virtuous woman. A woman that fears the Lord, you know, is going to be found where? That's a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's what the scripture says. A prudent wife is from the Lord. You are a brother. You are looking for a prudent, virtuous woman for wife. Where do you go to? Go to God. That's what he's saying. A woman that fears the Lord. So, how do you go to God? God made this clear in Luke 11:10. He that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And when you know what happened, the door is open to you. So, we must go to God. There is no other place to look for a wife. So, these foundations are very important to know that our women, our sisters, must be virtuous, prudent, and they must know that the price that God has placed on them is very high. And that's why you can see even the Lord Jesus himself, how much is bestowing on us so that he can marry us. So, Jesus, the Lord God, has made it clear, he's not looking for any church that will be one with him. So, God is laying emphasis on virtue. And that is what is missing in the churches today. And the hand of God is there. Virtue. And that's why God is saying, when you have virtue, your price is very high. Praise the Lord. So, we want to start by saying, where should I marry from? And where should I not marry from? We'll start from where not to marry from. Where not to marry from. It's very important that we know that. The first one in Genesis 34:9. Genesis 34:9. Let's look at it. Genesis 34:9. The Bible described that as the daughters of the land. The daughters of the land. This was the men of Avi, of Shechem, who came after they have defiled Dinah. And they came and said, make ye marriages with us. And give your daughters unto us. And take our daughters unto you. And why? He said, and ye shall dwell with us. And the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein. And get you possession therein. See, the purpose of Satan with regards to marriage, you know, is that he has his own daughter that he's trying to give to the people of God. So that you will not inhabit the land God has given to you, but you will dwell in the land that belongs to the enemy. He said, so this, and God is saying, you shall not marry from there. Another example of that is in Deuteronomy 7:3. Deuteronomy 7:3. Neither shall thou, that's God commanding his people, neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. That is the reason why God is saying, you shall not marry the daughter of the land wherein we are dwelling. Cannot marry from the daughter of those land because they have other gods. And those gods, God is saying, no, they will lead you astray. And that's why we talk about the examples of people like Solomon, who married so many wives. So what happened? They all led him astray. His heart. So everyone brought a god to Israel. And not only to Israel, they all pitched them right inside the temple. So instead of having God alone in the temple, so other gods, they carve out tent for them. And that's what God is saying. So when it comes to marriages, we must not marry the Avites, the Canaanites, and all of them, because they will lead our hearts away from God. Praise the Lord. The second one, you know, was in the case of Abraham, you know, when he was to marry for his son. So he was talking about daughters in whose land I dwell. Genesis 27:46. And these are the case of the Canaanites. And Rebekah said unto Isaac, okay, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughter of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? Then the second one is Genesis 24:3. Genesis 24:3. And I will make this swear by God. That was Abraham. That's the one I was. The God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. But the emphasis is on verse 3. So the Hivites will not take their daughters, neither will we give our daughters to their sons. And it's repeated here that Abraham was dwelling among the Canaanites. And God has promised that that land of the Canaanites, they are the possession of Israel. But these people are being used. He said, no, we want you to share this land with us. Because that's what they are doing. They know that you are coming to destroy them. But instead, the devil is saying, no, you will not rise up to the point of overcoming. Make a league with us. Let there be an agreement so that we can trade together and enjoy it together. That is the pollution that God is warning his people to desist and to run away from. So the daughters in whose land that we dwell today. So, very clear. Whose are the daughters in this land we dwell? And that's the one that is defined by traditions today. So we all come from one place or the other in our different countries. But the issue is that we cannot marry from these places. Because one, they fear not God. Two, they have other gods. And they will make you to serve them. And God is saying, if you serve these other gods, I will judge you. I will destroy you. So, we need the favor of our God. And the only way to get the favor of our God is to marry according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. That's why. So, when God is saying, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord, it's because when you do it right, then you will obtain the favor of the Lord. But if you don't do it right, then the favor of the Lord will not follow you. Yes, you will marry. You have husband, you have wife. Then they become a pain on your side. Just because you have done it wrongly. So, we need the mercy of God. We need the favor of God. We need the support which God can give. Praise the Lord. Now, another set of daughters that we cannot marry are the ones that the Bible describes as the daughters of uncircumcised Philistines. Uncircumcised Philistines. The Philistines, they are uncircumcised. It means in their heart, today, we are talking of unbelievers. All those who are unbelievers, and now you see them, they are professing Christianity in their mouth. And somebody described them as those born against. Described them as born against. So they are born against God. So those people, it's a no way area. It's a place where our daughters and our sons should not take husband or wife from. They are uncircumcised. Their hands have not been touched by God. Praise the Lord. So, it's not a question of beauty. Physical beauty can be deceptive. And that's what the scripture says. Deceptive. But a woman that fears the Lord is to be praised. So, your wife must be a woman that fears the Lord. That is the credential. That is the best beauty. Praise the Lord. Then finally, we'll look at a group of women also the Bible described as strange women. Strange women. First King 11, you can read from verse 1 to 8. The Bible talks of a group of people that the Bible classified them as strange. Strange. It means that in their behavior, in the house of God, in what they are doing, they are strange. They are strange to the commonwealth of Israel. They are strange to whatever we stand for today. You stand for righteousness, they stand for unrighteousness. While you are standing for uprightness, they are standing for compromise. So Bible is saying that these are strange men and women which you must not marry. And that's why the Bible is saying, what agreement between light and darkness? That's how it is. The two cannot dwell together in the same place. So these are examples of where we cannot marry from. Now, the question now is where... No, there is one more group. And that's Genesis 6:4. The Bible describes them as the daughters of men. The daughters of men. Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bear children to them, the same became mighty men, which are of old men of renown. So what we're saying is that the agreement between light and darkness, that is the beginning. That they will produce men that are giants. It means that the product, rather than fear God, will become more problematic to the kingdom of God. They are giants. We are going to have more problems to take care of. So, as much as possible, you know, our life must be seen to depend on it. That we must avoid all these daughters of the land, daughters of Canaanite, of Avad, of remnant, of the nation, and all that. Now, these are important, and we must follow them. Praise the Lord. So, the second aspect is, where then should we marry from? Now, let's look at Genesis 24, 38. There are basically two issues that will be dealt with here when you want to answer where do you marry from and who do you marry. Now, in the case of Abraham, 38. He said, thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. That's the heart of the father. And God, that's his wish for us too. You want a wife, where do you fetch it? In your father's house. There's no other place. So, it must be in your father's house. And even in your father's house, who do you see? It must be your kindred. No? The kindred of God. So, God is telling you, put the Lord Jesus there. If you want a wife, he said, you must take your wife from among my brethren. from among my brethren, my kindred. So, this is very important. It's from my father's house. We must marry from my father's house. And this house we are talking about, so where is our father's house? So, it must be the house of God. And not just the general house of God, he said, from among my kindred. Those ones who see eye to eye with you, who knows you very well, and you have the same inheritance, those are your kindred. That's where you must take a wife or take, allow an, a husband to take you from. So, it, both ways is the same thing. It must be from our father's house and from among Jesus' kindred. Praise the Lord. Now, the other passage, let's look at 47, 48. It's a repeat of that. So that's when he has gone and he confirmed that which God said. Now, the second thing that must be in place is Genesis 25. Let's look at Genesis 25. Who do you marry? You marry your sister. Now, said thee not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hand have I done this. No, that was when somebody was taking the wife of Abraham. Yes, but God made it clear. So, you want to marry? Who do you marry? Your sister. And sister will marry who? Your brother. In, of course. That's what we are dealing with. In the Lord. There is no other way. No other way. You are marrying first kindred and from your father's house. Two, that person is your brother or sister. But let's look at verse 12. So that one will make it clearer. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So that's what God is saying. All of us here, we are from the same father. That's, it must be clear to all of us, from the same father. Because my wife is first my sister, then she became my wife. If not your sister, then of course it cannot be your wife. If it's not your brother, then it cannot be your husband in the Lord. So it's important that some of these few things are in place, settled in our hand, to know who to marry, who not to marry, where to marry from. So these are the basic issues that we must know. Like somebody sent a question talking about concubines. God did not permit concubines. It was not part of God's arrangement, not part of God's purpose for men. It was men in their hardened heart, in their fallen state, that they invented all these issues. So what God determined is one man, one wife. from the beginning. Even when they asked the Lord Jesus, He told them the same thing. He said it was the hardness of your heart that made Moses to permit some of those things. But in the beginning, He said it was not so. And God is taking us back to that beginning. Praise the Lord. Now, we have been saying that, where do you marry from? And there is a group of people, you know, there is a story of the daughters of Zelophehad in the Bible. Now, Zelophehad had 5 daughters. And without any son. Till he died. And so when they were sharing inheritance in Israel, an inheritance was by male. So it means that Zelophehad will have no inheritance because of the daughters. And the daughters rose up and went to Joshua. He said, look, our father died. Yes, he had no male child, but he didn't participate in any rebellion. So he just died in his own sin. And so now, are you now saying that our father's name will be wiped off from Israel? So Joshua said, this matter, I have no answer. Let me go to God. He went to God, and God said, the Zelophehad daughters have said right. Give their father's inheritance unto them. Now, their father's inheritance was given unto them. Then a new problem arose from there. Now, because the Bible says, in Israel, inheritance will not move from tribe to tribe. Because as you are, well, what geographer will say, you draw a map. The map is rigid. Not that today it's like this, then another time you carve out some. So the question now is, if a daughter with inheritance in Israel has a portion and married to another man from another tribe, now what happened to that inheritance? It means that the inheritance will now become part of the new, you know what God said? So when they brought it again, God said, when they brought the matter again, that the elders of the tribe now brought of Zelophehad's tribe brought the matter before Joshua. He said, this matter must go before God again. And he went before God and said, God, what do we do about this matter? And God said, let inheritance not move from tribe to tribe, but that Zelophehad daughter must marry within their tribe, so that the inheritance must remain there. What is the implication of this for us? You see, our daughters must see that they are daughters of inheritance. So, daughters of inheritance are not people that can begin to jump about and transferring their inheritance to other tribes and to all these tribes that God has condemned. So, it means that for you to keep your inheritance in the Lord, you must marry within your tribe. What is the meaning of that? It means that, see, we are the people of God. God has brought us in this end time, to a place where the inheritance God is bringing us into is not something that we can look away from. So, because I have to go to God specifically about this. So it means our daughters don't go and go and marry from an Anglican church in the name that they are also Christians. Because when you do like that, you are losing your inheritance. The only way to keep your inheritance, that the place, what God is saying, that the place where everyone has attained unto
What they should do, what they should abide in. So if after you have gone all these journeys, and then you go down to pick husband or wife, so what happened? You are going, you are losing all this inheritance in God just because you want to marry an Anglican. It's not just that they are Christians, but do they have the inheritance that you have? So this, I believe, is because there are questions that I've asked God, and I believe that these are answers that I've received and which you can judge, you know. But if you are judging, make sure that you go back to God. That's the only way. You go to God and ask. So maybe later, if you have any questions, you ask. You know. So it's a question of what? So a way to keep your inheritance. You know, there was the story of Dinah in the, who went to see the daughters of the land. It's important, and that's in Genesis 34. Genesis 34, verse 1 to 14. We have come, our daughters should not begin to see the daughters of the land. Because the Bible is clear. It said, the children of this generation are wiser, that the children of this age are wiser of the devil in their generation than the children of life. So they have their own generation, and their generation is that of rape, doing evil against virtuous women. For you to keep your virtue, you must abide in the house. Don't jump from place, go to sea. You know, go to sea. Which in the local language, I will say, luku luku. Don't go and look up and down. You want to see what is happening. You know, how are they doing it? That is their zone. If you go to their zone, it's... so, that has been the problem, which we as the children of God must learn. So the last aspect we want to look at now is to look at a typical example of the marriage, you know, of Rebecca to Isaac. So, and if we are recapping, you say that the brother will go to the Lord. You are the one that is finding. And like in this case, the Holy Spirit is there to lead you. And that was exactly what happened. We will not be able to read that passage in Genesis 24. But go and read Genesis 24, the whole of the chapter. You know, and you see what God will have there. But let's just summarize what is there. Now, in that passage, Abraham said, that the father want a wife for the son. And Eliezer, a type of the Holy Spirit, was sent to do so. If you desire a husband or a wife, go to God, who will activate Holy Spirit to search out a wife for you. God will do it by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that was what Eliezer did. And Eliezer was saying, supposing the wife will not agree to come, he said, look at it very well. That's for the brothers. If the woman will not agree, yes, he wants to marry my son, but at the same time remain in advice and all that. He said, so you did. He said, but one thing you must not do, don't take my son back to the land where I came from. So brothers, if you want to marry and that woman is telling you he will take you to Presbyterian Church, There is no way there. Because what God is saying is that you will not take my son back to the place where he came from. If he came from assemblies and you are here. So you now want to marry and the assembly woman says you must come to assembly. That's what we are saying. Then what do you do? He said, no. That's why he made it to swear that you will not take my son back. And we thank God he found Rebecca. How did he find Rebecca? And that's how every man who is looking for wife must do. So where do you go if you are looking for a wife? Go to the well. Go to the well. There is no other place. That's the well of salvation. And you see, Psalm 23, he said, he maketh me lie down in green pasture. You know? So, then he said, by that still water. So, he was just there. He was lying down. And started saying, then I will look for the daughter that will come with her pitcher. Who is God looking for? He's looking for a woman with a pitcher of water. Who will come? Because he knows how to come to fetch water from the well of salvation. This well of salvation is open. Many women don't know how to go near there. Their pitcher is empty, but they are not fetching water. But you go there and you and wait for that one that will come there to fetch water. And not only that, yes, among those who will fetch water, now, give me to drink. And she gives you to drink. That is your wife. And when you now say, give to my cattle, what does it do? He said, I will give it. So it means that she's long suffering and she's ready to go the extra man for you. That is your wife. So, not only that, see, that's why as soon as the Holy Spirit is the one that is leading, and you have said issue, and he will search out the appropriate wife for you. And immediately that won't happen. So the question now, how will the woman know? How will the man know? So you know what Eliezer did? That's when he carried the bracelet, put it in her hand, and put what? The earring, the golden earring, and put it in her hand. From that point on, you will hear the voice of her husband to be. By that golden ring. Yes, because the man is already praying, seeking for a wife. And God will lead you. And as God is leading you, God will also lead her. And what the Holy Spirit will do to lead her is to put that golden ring in her ear. So from that point on, he begins to hear you when you speak. And your walk together, you begin to see the bracelet. So it's important that we see all that. Now the question of time, how long? Generally in the Bible, there is no long courtship that we see forever. 5 years. It will be when you are ready to marry. Then when you can start the process. Not because you want to keep it. Let me just keep this person. You are not ready, but you want to keep the person. No, it's not right. You know, it's not right. It should be when you are ready. You know, where readiness is not a question of 1 week or 1 month or 1 year, but at least the process should be on. So these are a few
Well, because of the time, that's why we are cutting it short. But just want to run to few of the things which we must know. That this issue, you remember when the Lord Jesus wanted to celebrate, you know, dance in the upper room. He sent two of his disciples to look for the man with the pitcher of water. So it's always important that we should become carriers of pitcher of water. You know. Yes. Okay. Now, so this is important, you know. So in Isaiah 55, you know, verse 1 talks about this very well also. So you are looking for a wife, where do you go to? To the water. That's the place. Oh, everyone that is there, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and make without money and without price. So, as you do, because in this place of the well, God will satisfy your soul. That your longing soul, that which you are looking for, you know, in God, God will satisfy them. So it's important, you know. So he laid me down beside still water. And why is laying you down beside still water? What is he doing? He's meeting your needs. And it's the same thing that God did to Adam. So he made Adam to sleep. While he was asleep, what did he do? He made a wife for him. And it was that when he woke up. And that's how, if in God, we can recognize the person. As soon as he woke up, he saw. He said, this is now bone of my bone. When God shows you, you will know it. Bone of my bone. And that was it. So, but what should our sisters be doing? Revelation 19:7. He said, making themselves ready. You make yourself ready. That's what everything the Lord Jesus is doing to the church. Because a time will come. Are you there? Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. Now, sisters should not worry themselves who to marry when the husband home. What if there is, if you worry about anything, how do you make yourself ready? And that means that you are putting on the nature of Christ. Those ornaments which God is talking about. Keep putting them on. Looking at the inner being and see what aspect have I not taught. Because what you are to become is a virtuous woman. Your price is high. So it's not in the shamefacedness or adoring of the external body, but of the inner being. So as you are, every day you are making yourself ready, your husband will come. That's my belief. And one thing that is also clear, which somebody made the fear that you don't know him, you don't know her. Because there is a lie of the devil in which he's saying that you have to know the person very well, study, and that's what has brought in cohabitation, issue of sin and all that. That is not of God. It is the Holy Spirit that knows the person better. He knows him or her well. So if you go to God, you will see the beauty that God wants you to see. So it's important that we recognize that. Always go
to God. So while she is making herself ready with the appropriate ornaments of meekness, you know, and not just addressing the flesh. So, and once he has done that for the brother, go to the well. Stay by the well, you know, and while you are lying down and you can see, God will show you the one that will come with a pitcher of water and is ready to give you. Praise the Lord. You remember, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Yes, not exactly. Thank you. So it's not from any other place. So there is no other issue. Other few things we just said is the issue of divorce. You know, in the scripture, it does not exist in our dictionary. You know, in the dictionary of God, there is no place for divorce. So you just know that once you are married, you are married. So these are issues that must be looked at. But for the brothers, you need one preparation. And that preparation is that you must be ready to live and cleave. That's Genesis 2:24. It says, therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother. Are you ready to leave your father and mother? Are you ready to stop receiving instruction from your father and mother? If you are not ready, then you are not ready to marry. So, it has to do with them. So, you must be very ready. So, to cleave and to leave. So, you leave and then you cleave to your wife alone. So, and so that the two of you shall become one flesh. And that's why in Genesis 2, verse 25, it said, the outcome of that said, they were both naked, man and wife, and were not ashamed. Because there is that living and cleaving. Now, the last aspect I want to touch on is on dowry. On dowry. Because for many Christians, they are still seeing that you pay dowry. Even some sisters think that how can the man just come and take me free? Just like that. You know? The issue of dowry. Now, from the scriptural references that we are going to look at, you see that consistently, all the women on which dowries were paid were raped. Or there was a fornication situation. So it's only on that one that they say they will pay something required by the father. Otherwise, in God, marriage is what? Free gift. You bring gift to the parent of the bride. Now, in Genesis 34, so let me make reference so that you will see those references. Genesis 34, 11, 12. Verses 11 and 12. That was when Dinah was raped by Shechem. So, and on his own, he offered, just tell me how much you want me to pay, I will pay. Just allow me to marry her. Just because he has already defiled her. It's in the case of defilement that dowry is important. The second was in Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22. Verses 28 and 29. If a man find a damsel, let's look at this, that is a virgin,
which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he had humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. So, it's important. Is that one? Well, as much as possible, you know, you cannot divorce her. That's what he's saying. You know, but the most important aspect is that a dowry will be paid, and that dowry specified 50 shekels, because they are not married, and he laid hold on her, you know, and they were found. So that's very important. Then let's also look at Exodus 22. Verses 16 and 17. Exodus 22. And if a man entices a maid that is not betrothed, because that's why you keep saying it, not betrothed, to another man, and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. He shall endow her, pay dowry for her to become his wife, because he has not followed the proper way. See, even when her father utterly refuses to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. That's 50 shekels. Is God knew that there would be this kind of situation. So that's why it made provision for it. But otherwise, you know, you are supposed to give gifts. Then the final aspect we'll look at is the case of Now, there were two cases of people who paid dowry in one form or the other. You know, Saul to David. Saul, David and Micah. You know, when Saul was to marry David didn't really come to Saul to say, I want to marry your daughter. But because there was an evil intention in the heart of Saul to kill David, he said, now, go to this uncircumcised Philistine. Just tell him to give me 100 foreskin of the Philistines. Now, he knows that he's a fighter. He can go to any enemy of God and kill them and bring their. But only the Philistines are uncircumcised. So it means for you to get a foreskin, that person must be a Philistine. He didn't ask for aid, he didn't ask for anything. All what he wanted was that the Philistines were the overlords over Israel. So he thought, when David goes in to fight them, to get 100 foreskin, he will be killed in the process. And at the end of the day, even after doing that, Saul still gave the daughter to another man to marry. So that to tell you, so it's not a normal situation for dowry to be paid. Or like the case of Jacob marrying Leah and Rachel. He had nothing to give. He had no gift. And the man didn't say, serve me for 7 years. So it was a gift. He said, I want to marry your daughter. So to be able to marry your daughter, since I don't have anything to give you, I will serve you for 7 years. He did that. It was after he was given Leah, And there was some problem that the man now said, okay, if you want this younger one, Rachel, you can still have her. You serve for another 7 years. That it was only then. So, in the scriptures, you keep going through, what you find is the situation of give the man on his own volition, giving gifts to the family. And that does not mean that because he said gifts, then you go and look for wretched things. It means that you are not appreciating the virtuous woman God has given to you. So it's very important. Let no brother here just think that, yes, no, since I can do anything, then you go and, no. It means that you don't appreciate her. So if you appreciate her, then you look for good gifts to give to her parents, you know, to give to her people, as a mark of the fact that you appreciated God. So these are the issues. So maybe we just look at. Praise the Lord. Brother Sam, you said that. You said that the issue of divorce does not exist. What about brethren who married those who were divorced? Please explain. Now, we have to know one thing. Divorce is in the Lord. No divorce in the Lord. The Bible is clear. If people were married before they knew the Lord, and let's say one of them, the man, knew the Lord and the wife refuses to know the Lord, the Bible says if that woman is willing to live with you, you cannot divorce her. But if that woman says, because of your faith, I cannot continue this marriage, the Bible says you are free. Whether man or woman, in a situation like that, you can marry. So it's not an offense that a divorced woman is married, but in the Lord. Because these were things that happened before you became born again. So I hope that this one is addressed. So the question of divorce. Is it possible that in the Anglican Church, there are people who have not bowed down their knees to idols? Now, Elijah thought he was alone until God opened his eyes. Praise the Lord. You see, are you going to go to Anglican to be looking for those righteous that have not bowed their knees? So what Bible is saying is that come out. Is that not what God is saying? Come out. If they refuse to come out, then they are bowing to idols. That's the issue. He must come out. And that's why Abraham says, you cannot go back there. Well, but if it's in Anglican church, God opened your eyes and you saw a man that you are going to marry, and that man is willing to come out, no problem. So, because we have to make it clear. But that person must come out. Not that the man will take you there. Because God is saying, because you are a sister of inheritance. You are a brother of inheritance. So your inheritance in Christ, you cannot take it to the other way.
So I hope that is addressed. But later on, contributions. Can infidelity be enough basis for divorce? Since the scripture says, he who joins himself to a harlot is one with her. You see, infidelity should have an end. Because some people are waiting for an offense. When you are looking for a reason to divorce, so you just say, yes, it's infidel, I've caught you. But there is also a place where the Bible says, forgive. It says, how many times should my brother sin against me? He said, is it 7 times? What did he say? 7 times 70 in one day. So, brethren, infidelity cannot be the basis. Especially if the person has repented, you know, and is willing to go on in God. But unless where the person has not repented and chooses to go, then that person becomes an unbeliever. Hello? Yeah, so the person has made himself or herself an unbeliever. But if the person repents, it's no basis. Praise the Lord. How many marriages do we have in the Bible? Marriage. Let me. So, well, here he's talking about types of marriages. Traditional and white wedding. Explain. That one, no day Bible. My Bible has no place for traditional marriage or white wedding. Only wedding. And see, wedding culminates. No, the end point of a wedding is this issue of what we call marriage supper. So the marriage supper. And most often is this marriage supper that we are referring to now as a white wedding and all that. So it's just one marriage. And that's why in whatever you are doing, God's name must be glorified. So the first one, you know, what we are now referring to as traditional marriage is from our local distance. There's nothing traditional for us. It just simply means a process in the marriage. And that process is just knowing the family. That's what it is. Just knowing the family. That is not the wedding. The wedding is when you are blessed by the people of God. And you take a vow, you know, in the presence of the people of God. That's the wedding. Praise the Lord. We are trusting God for the blessing of the fruit of the womb. We are therefore asking brethren to join us in praying for the blessing, for this blessing from our Almighty Father. That's people that are married. So we'll pray for that. That's a prayer request, not a question. Please, are you trying to tell us not to marry? Yeah, are you trying to tell us not to marry from another denomination? If yes, why? There is no denomination in the scriptures. My Bible has no place for denomination. So, that's number one. But the basic issue here is that what is at stake is your inheritance in God. So, whether you are a sister, you are a people of inheritance. If you are a brother,
You are a people of inheritance. No, you belong to that group. So what God is saying is that you cannot lose that inheritance. So as a result, yes, the land from which we came out are all these denominations. Yes, if God gives you wife from there, you can take. But the wife must not do what? Take you back. That's what the scripture is saying. The wife must not take you back. If God gives you husband from there, yes, you take. But the husband must not take you back. I'm not the one saying it. That's the scriptures. Praise the Lord. So, well, brethren, the questions are here. Anyone that I'm not able to answer well, they can make contributions. So if there are still more questions, let's praise the Lord. So we'll leave the prayer request here so that brethren will pray back. Well, there are some few issues the brethren feel I should address so that letting up be we are quickly running away. Now, this aspect is the aspect of you have prayed. God has opened your eyes. You are a brother, you are a sister. God has revealed to you who to marry. How do you go about it? Even when you know and you are, if a sister knows, keep it to yourself. It will be froward of you. Yes. I'm going to say something. For you to go and propose to a brother. Yes. Let no sister do it. It's not right. It's a disorder. If God has shown you and the man is not seeing it, you know what you are going to do? Keep going to fetch water. Yes. You go to the water. Keep going to the water. That's where you pray, you see God's face. You are laying it before God. Maybe at that point, when God showed you, the brother has not gone to the well. So that's why it's not seeing you. But your duty is just keep going to the well, to fetch water. You are praying, you are reading the word of God, you are seeking God's face. Do what you are supposed to be doing. Getting ready. That's what we are saying. That's what you are doing. Just keep getting ready. One day, God will do it. And when God does it, it will be better. Because that has caused many problems. There are cases where even when a brother knows, because the sister open mouth to say it, the brother will say no. He will say no. And it becomes problems. And you have created problems because it's a disorder. And because you have put a stumbling block on his way now. So, learn the example of Rebecca. Yes. Holy Spirit, that's Eliezer brought her. And he looked and saw, by the leading of the Spirit of God. He said, who is that man? He said, my master. That's your husband to be. She covered herself. It's the man that must discover her. It's not the woman that, yes, your own knowing is for yourself, not for saying. You don't mount it. It's just for you to know it. Oh.
Just a short comment. The objective is not to find a wife or to find a husband. The objective, What? The objective is not to find a wife or a husband. The objective is to find God. In finding God, you will find a wife or you will find a husband. And the scripture says that we are to first seek God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our mights, and all these other things will be added unto us. If you make a husband or a wife an objective, you will miss God. Do you hear me? If you make a husband or a wife an objective, you will miss God. And you will miss the right wife and you will miss the right husband. Because the devil is always ready to give you a substitute. So it is necessary for us to fix our minds upon God and to seek God first.
Lord, thank God for the coming. If 5 men have gone out of Babylon and 10 women have gone out of Babylon, what would the remaining women do? Praise the Lord. You see, these are unnecessary worry. And that's why the Bible says, if you keep worrying and worrying, he said, it will not add anything. Not, instead, it removes. So what we are supposed to do is seek God. For your own husband, for your own wife, God will do it. So, if your husband is... Yes. As you keep praying, just make up your mind, you are not going back to Babylon because of husband or wife. No. And God will bring your wife out of Babylon. That's the most important issue there. So, you say, where is this well? The well is the well of salvation. No. In the Bible, you can see on the Day of Atonement, as the priest is walking, is singing, there is a scripture that is read on that day. With joy, you will fetch water out of the well of salvation. It's as the high priest is going, the bell is ringing. That's what people will do. The well of salvation starts from within you. That's what our brother has been teaching about the tabernacle. And it requires our ability to keep seeking God and seeking God and seeking God in prayer, in fasting, in reading of the scriptures, in fellowship. As you are doing all that, you are fetching water out of the well of salvation. Yes, we are being a conference. So what have we been doing? Fetching water out of this well of salvation. So it's a practical thing. It's not theory. So it means that you should just go about doing what God has laid in your hand as you see God. Keep doing the thing you are supposed to do. You will find your husband, you will find your wife. But the most important thing, like our brother has just said, seek God. Then this other thing will what? Be added. Praise the Lord. So that our worry should not be seeking these other things. It's a disorder. You know, if a woman should stay and grow gray hair in the church and nobody marries her but seeks somebody else to marry outside, should this person agree? If not, why? You see, anybody at whatever stage, if you see a brother who wants to marry you but and is willing to come out, why not? That's the condition. If the person is not willing to come out,
then that's where the problem is. Because it means, unless you are now saying, no, because of this marriage thing, I'm willing to lose my inheritance. Then you go ahead and marry whoever you want to marry. But you have lost your inheritance in God. You see, God has taken us so far that it becomes very difficult. He said, what can separate us from the love of God? Will marriage be one of those things that will separate us? He said, no. That's how it is. There is nothing to separate us from the love of God. He said, please, sir, I want you to answer this question. Is it only us here that have this inheritance in God? Is it only us here? The answer is no. There are many. So all what we are saying is that if you go to God, God will lead you. Because it will be, we'll be fooling ourselves if we say people here are the only one. No. And that's the scripture that somebody was trying to read with regards to the prophet Elijah, who said, I am left. And God told him, he said, I've reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed themselves or worshipped Baal. So what we are asking is that in God, God will show you these 7,000 that have not bowed down their knees. Just go to God. Don't walk by sight. Is it this one? Is it this? No. Don't walk. That's walking by sight. Go to God. It's God. All things are possible. Praise the Lord. So once a brother has found a wife to marry, he should tell, because just remember, at that point, you are not married. So the first thing you should do, tell your brethren, the elders. And then they will pray along with you, take it to God. The point, they will announce to the brethren. The brethren, if we see sister this and brother this, just know that they are engaged to be married. So, but that does not mean they will begin to live together, you know, and be seen in corner. No. So whatever they are doing, it must be holy. Yes, in the light. So you walk in the light and God will help you. And the final aspect, like we're saying, is this issue of blessing. See, the purpose of blessing, whether few or many, is you are bringing in witnesses. Witnesses. That's the purpose. So, for us, no, God has brought us to liberty. And in wedding, what we're going to do is, you come to your brethren. Oh, we join you together and bring in and we stand also as witnesses to what God has done. So it's important. Well, out there, there are many things that people cannot begin to do. Some will say, there are cases where few people just stay together and that's worldly. No, but for us, the Church of God, that fellowship where you are, must witness it. Must witness it. It doesn't have to be a special day. Sometimes when people limit the number, it's either because they don't have money, and that's where your brethren are also there, they can support you. And besides, weddings should not be such to be bothersome to the couple, because you want to marry and show off, then you are buying 1.5 million wedding gown, shoe, this, that's frivolity. It's just a one day affair. It will come. Yes, that's not to say that the sister should dress shabbily. It's her day. But you can still be modest and look radiant, look beautiful. Because you are already beautiful because of the gift of God that is already there. So these are the issues there. But where a wedding could not take place because of money, make this thing known to your brethren. People can support you. And besides, you can just buy biscuits and water and give. If that's what you have. Yes. Yeah, it's a marriage feast. So you cannot feast with biscuits and water. You feast with bread. But what we're saying is that when you come to a staff situation, discuss with the brethren. People can help you take care of the feast. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. This has been an interesting session, and it's still going to get more interesting. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is a very important aspect, and it's something that maybe perhaps we have been neglecting. Praise the name of the Lord. And particularly for our young people, there's a lot that we need to learn and we need to know. I think perhaps the most important thing I learned tonight is that we're a people of what now? Inheritance. What we're doing here is a matter of what now? Inheritance. A matter of something that we have in the Lord, and that we must give all diligence to do what now? To guard it. What I have found out is that there are a number of people who move around in our midst who do not have a consciousness and a sense of that word now, inheritance. So they are controlled by the mundane things. Praise the name of the Lord. They are here for benefit. And if there is benefit somewhere else, in the twinkling of an eye, do you understand that? They take decisions because of advantage. If what you have seen is not valuable enough for you, you are not going to pay any price for it. Do you understand that? Men gave up their lives. Do you understand? In order not to lose what now? Do you understand the point? They saw something and they said, we are prepared to what now? To die. What is marriage then compared to it? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, when it comes to marriage, you will know what an individual does what now believes. Do you believe that? Yes, it does. Both in terms of who you marry. Now, if you're a young girl, a sister, before you marry, you have your crown. Is that correct? Every virtuous woman has what now? A crown. Okay? When you marry, you take that crown and you give to what now? To the man, to your husband. You understand the point? That's the crown, that's the glory you put on him. Don't give your crown to a foolish man. Did you hear what I said? Do not give your crown to a foolish man. It means you do not know your own value. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, are we together? Are we together? And for the young people, there are standards of conduct. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, we have mentality. I notice even among our children, this thing of boyfriend and girlfriend exists. Maybe so. No, let's tell the truth. Yes. I see him pairing up. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm saying here, I'm not talking of outside. I don't have any business with people outside. I'm talking of amongst ourselves here, there is a lot of pairing up. And in case you don't know. Amen. I have seen it in the camp already. Now, brethren, listen. The fact that somebody is here does not mean that that person is walking the same walk with you. Are we together? Are we together? This is not a denomination. Each individual must be seeing a vision. Your life must be controlled and dictated by what now? That vision. There are some young people here who are not born again. They are coming with their parents. Is that not so? There are some girls here who are not born again. They are coming with their parents. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. There are standards of conduct. There's nothing like boyfriend and what now? Girlfriend. And there's nothing like pairing. You understand the point? A mother came to me today and she expressed discomfort about the son and another girl right here in the campus. And she was very unhappy about it. And it's not right. Do you understand the point? You can't be calling a boy by 12 midnight. What are you people talking by 12 midnight? Do you understand the point? I mean, this is disorder. It's wrong. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, I learned something when I was young. One of my mentors taught me. He said, do not stir up passions that you cannot righteously fulfill. Are you getting my point? You are playing with what now? Fire. You don't begin to stir up passion. He said, do not awaken love. Do you understand? Till it's the right time. If not, you are putting yourself in trouble. The standard of conduct between young men and young women is brother and what now? Sister. That is what the Bible tells us. So there's nothing like pairing. In those days, they encouraged us to relate in groups. Do you understand the point? Group. Nothing wrong, you understand, with, you know, relating with members of the opposite sect, but relate in groups. And the Bible said that the young men should relate to the sisters as what now? Sisters in all purity. Now, you must come to a point, particularly the young women, because you are always the casualties. Do you understand the point? The sisters are the more emotional part. When there's a broken relationship, they are the ones left what now? Crying. Is that correct? Yes. They are the ones left crying. They are the ones who will brood over this. Ah, she left me. Or he left me. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we need to know that everything has a right time. There is a time for what now? Everything. Even love. There is a time for what now? For love. A girl of 14 years, 13 years, 15 years. Do you understand? There are certain things you have no business what now? Getting into. But we have picked up standards from where now? From the world. Praise the name of the Lord. And I think it's something we need to begin to stand and rebuke. And what now? And correct. It ought not to be found where now? In our midst. Brethren, if you know anybody pairing, just come and let us know. Praise the name of the Lord. We have to come to that point. No, that's correct. And that's right. Because we will not tolerate it. Brethren, are we together? It is not tolerated. It is wrong testimony. One of the reasons why marriage is celebrated in the open is for what you call testimony. Do you understand? So that people see you tomorrow, they say, okay, they are what now? They're married. That's why it is not done, never done, we are now in secret. It must be done in the open for testimony's sake. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So then there's nothing like pairing. There's nothing like boyfriend and girlfriend. There's nothing like courtship. Are we together? Hello? When you want to marry, the brethren, you tell the brethren that you want to what now? Marry. Do you understand the point, brethren? Yes. And as much as possible, it's done as quickly as what now? Possible. The reason is the moment you begin to give your heart to somebody, hey, you begin to drop your guards. That's the truth. the tendencies and the propensities for all kinds of things begin to do what now? To go up. So you don't play with fire. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, we have learned so many things from the West. You know, dating. Do you understand the point? What is dating? It's trial and error. You try this person and see if you're compatible. There's nothing like compatibility. You don't know your wife until you marry her. Believe me. Are you getting my point? That's why it's important that you must seek who? Seek God. Marriage is a process of discovery. And if you follow God's direction, it becomes a wonderful word now, discovery. Praise the name of the Lord. So people date. Every time you date and it doesn't work, a damage is done to your emotions. There's no parting, no breaking up, even if it's this thing, that is not without damage to your emotions. Praise the name of the Lord. And what it does make you is that after one disappointment, you develop a wrong notion of the opposite word now, sex. Do you understand that? You may carry a lot of baggage when you eventually get married. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, brethren, we must conduct ourselves. That's what we are taught to as young Christians. These days, the standard of Christianity has dropped so low that, you know, there is no difference. We have watched young men keep girlfriends. I don't know what they do with them, or do you understand? But I know that they keep girlfriends. Praise the name of the Lord. And it ought not to be named amongst us. Brethren, we are serious about what we are doing here. Praise the name of the Lord. And we will not allow young people here to give us a bad name. Amen.
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 In fact, I learned something from Borrera's parade. The next people we'll catch, we'll parade them here. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But it's important that we understand these things. Amen. The house of God is a place of purity. Praise the name of the Lord. Not only must we be pure, we must manifestly appear to be what now? Pure. So the Bible says we should flee all appearances of what now? Evil. In other words, any conduct that will give room for what now? Suspicion. I wonder what they are doing. Amen. Are we together? Young people, a boy and a girl should not be seen in a corner. You understand? Talking. If you want to talk, come out here. Do you understand? That's what the Bible says. Avoid the unfruitful works of what now? Darkness. You need to do something so that people know that, you understand, what you are doing is what now? It's pure. Once you begin to hide, something, darkness has what? Has come in. And believe me, darkness is a powerful thing. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
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 So brethren, no pairing. Amen. No pairing. Hallelujah. I want to just talk briefly about certain marriage customs and practices. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we are a people of a sign. Our lives are supposed to be a signal to the world and to the devil. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together, brethren? Our lives are supposed to, we are not copycats. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we together? The Bible says we should not be conformed to what now? To the world. But that our lives should demonstrate that good, acceptable, and what now? Perfect will of God. If people want to see marriage, they should come to us. Amen. If people want to see how young men and young women should conduct themselves, they should come and do what now? And look at us. We are testimonies. Stars give light to the world. Is that what the Bible says? Lights in the heaven give light to the world. We are the ones that should show the world how things ought to be what now? Done. Praise the name of the Lord. We live in a world. We grew up seeing certain things happen, including in our villages, in our homes, and even in the churches that we all came out of. We assumed, you know, there's something Paul called the beggarly, what now, element. Are we getting my point? These are the rudiments of this world. It's a mentality. These are things that we grew up seeing being done. But you see, as we begin to come into the Lord, as the light begins to shine, God himself begins to tell us how to live. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How to do things. And I said it before, that we do not do things that we cannot answer for. Are we together, brethren? We do not. The devil has patterned this world and planned it before you were born. And all that he has patterned and designed is geared towards a purpose. To kill, to steal, and to what now? To destroy. He wants access into our souls. Now, marriage is something that is dear to God. And the devil wants to have a place and a say in it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we just grew up. What Brother Sam was talking about, traditional marriage. We grew up. You know, the way it even started, it all of a sudden thing has become a behemoth. It has become a gigantic behemoth. Praise the name. Every day people are discovering new things to add to it. Add to it. And suddenly, you know, there's something about the world that wants to get into us. You come to a point when you feel that if you don't do it, you understand the point? You know, that power to conform is a very strong power. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God wants to bring us to a point when we are bold to be what we are. Do you understand? You are bold to be what you are. In fact, you come to a point when you know who you are, what God has made you to be. And you do not need to look left or right to declare your position, to shine forth as light. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I watched a wedding some time ago. There's a lady. She's a minister of the gospel, Juanita Bynum. How many people know her? Eh? Did anybody watch that wedding? You did. It was the most... I have never in my whole life seen anything like that. You know, I wondered, how can a Christian, somebody who professes Christ, do such, what now, a thing? How can, on earth, do you know, the wedding train, I can't believe, you can't imagine how long it was. They imported flowers from Paris for that thing. The wedding train was so long and incredible. It was, brethren, the grossest act of worldliness I had ever seen. Then they wedded. I watched them that day. And the man came out, he was prophesying. He called himself this and that. They did all that wedding. You know how it ended? Do you know how it ended? The woman had to flee for her life. Because the man beat her. I don't know whether it was the man's fault or... Are you getting my point? I don't know. Because some women can be very, very... You understand? Domineering. I don't know. But the point was that she fled for her life. That was the end of the wedding and the marriage. I don't know. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me tell you, there was a wedding in Owerri. This one ended at the reception venue. Ha! See me trouble. Do you know, I don't know what caused that problem, whether it was the souvenirs. You know, souvenir has become another god. Isn't that correct? People are bound to it. Small time, they have finished the wedding. Made all the noise, you know, the bridal train, everything, and then they got to the reception. You know, small time, there was problem. You know, the man had some very strong aunties. You know, these aunties can be very powerful. So all of them were ganged up in one group. Then the woman had her own strong aunties. So these ones were consulting. These ones, maybe they were sharing souvenirs this side. These people were not giving them, you know, and all such things. After a while, one of them rose up to complain. Then the problem escalated, shouting. Then some people rushed to the high table and complained to the man. The other group rushed to the high table and complained to the woman. Then all of a sudden, trouble burst. Then the girl's family started packing some of the gifts. You know, the boy's family started packing some of their own gifts. Before you know what's happening, the girl's father just went up to the distance, grabbed the girl like that and took off. The boys would say, nonsense. They went and grabbed the young man. Ham, boom. That's how high class, you know what they call high society wedding ended. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, when we got married, it was in Barachima's sitting room. That's where we married. Now, I'm not saying you should do that. But I want you to know that some things are more important than what now? Others. Praise the name of the Lord. We were there. You know, and God helped us. That was the way the Lord led us. There were no wedding gifts. We didn't have any. I don't know if you understand my point. We didn't have any. But we thank God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I look back at the whole thing today and I thank God. I have only one regret. That was our traditional marriage. You know, when we watch the video, when you start watching the first part, I feel so grieved. But when I get to the second part, praise the name of the Lord, I am so blessed. Amen. Amen. Brethren, we must come to know the things that are much more, what now, important. There are some things that are much more important in life. Now, particularly, our sisters have a challenge because of the images that we carried from our father's house. You know, Rachel picked those images. And those things are very powerful. Praise the name of the Lord. They are very what now? Powerful. They are there locked up in the mind. She said, wait, you people talk what you're talking until that day. Are you getting my point? Until that day. You know, they have found out something. When you do a lot of little research on marriage customs and practices, now virtually everything we do has idolatrous Babylonish origins. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If a practice is dedicated to a particular spirit, as long as that practice is still on, you are still giving life to what now? To that spirit. Do you understand the point? You can't polish tradition. The Bible says, utterly what now? Destroy. That's what the Bible says. Do you understand the point? Utterly destroy the altars. The devil is not joking. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We borrowed our customs. It was basically what they call Greco-Roman. Do you understand? That is the root of all most of the practices we do. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and brethren, I want to tell you something. We have to come to a point in life when we simply want to do the will of what now? God. You see that Jesus came. He did not please what now? Himself. But he pleased who now? The Father. Until our lives come to that. I was talking about the other day. About presenting ourselves as what now? An offering. Most people are not yet prepared to come to that point. And it brings us into certain traps. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was in a wedding somewhere in the east, southeast. And they invited me to anchor that wedding. I called them, I said, I hope people will thought carefully before asking me to do this. They said, no, we want you to do it. In fact, we prayed and they felt the Lord was asking us to ask you. I said, fine, no problem. So, when I saw them, you know, bukuru with the cake, I called them, I said, see, this cake, I'm not saying people shouldn't cut it, eat it, but don't bring it out here for cutting. Do you understand my point? Don't bring it out here for cutting. But the couple had one strong auntie. Are you getting my point? So, in spite of all that I said, you are talking numbers, she set up the cake. I was the MC. I ignored the cake. I don't know if you understand my point. I ignored the cake. Continued the program. And that wedding was interesting because in the course of the wedding, somebody got healed. That was a prophetic word that came. You know, it's not supposed to happen at weddings. Do you understand? But the Lord moved. And somebody got healed in that wedding. Praise the name of the Lord. So the cake was there. We were going on and going. Nobody told her. She came quietly, carried the cake and went inside. I didn't talk to her. Praise the name of the Lord. Only for some end time brethren to come and say that if they heard about it, that they would have rebuked me, they have seen me. I said, no problem. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the cutting of the cake was an old Roman ceremony. These were cakes that were offered to the gods. It was a covenant. Now, almost everything done during marriage rites were fertility, what they call fertility rites, aimed at getting the favor of the God, so that the marriage would be what now? Blessed with children. From the beginning to the end, were rites dedicated to certain gods to ensure what now? Fertility. Praise the name. Are we together? You know, when God had an issue with Israel, He said, Elijah came and said, there shall be no rain. It was because they were into Baal, what now? Worship. You know, Baal was supposed to be the god of prosperity. The god that, you understand, blessed them with harvest, blessed them with this. God said, fine, if you believe that it is this God that is giving you this thing, let Baal give you rain. For 3.5 years, God shut the heavens. Say, fine, do all the things you have been doing, and let me see if there be one drop of rain in this land. He can do the same thing with us. Do you understand? If we have not come to that point, when we know that God says, my little children, keep yourself from what now? From idols. Keep yourself from idols. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so they ate those cakes. They offered one. You take, you give to your wife. Your wife will take and what now? Gift. You know, that's one of the highlights of wedding, isn't it? Hatala cake. They'll feed your wife. You understand? Before they do, they cut the cake. And somebody will come and stand witness. Well, I saw the way they held their hands together. That shows that they will work together. Somebody comes and describes the cake. Well, you see, it has blue here. Foolishness. Brethren, you do things without meaning. We are not like that, brethren. Do you understand me, brethren? Jesus lived a life that was prophetic from the beginning to what now? The end. Praise the name of the Lord. Everything we do must have meaning, brethren. It must prophesy. It must speak into the heavens. Hallelujah. Anything that has no meaning, don't get involved. It's not going to add any value to you. Praise the name of the Lord. You can eat cake at wedding. This cake is just food. But the rite of cutting of that cake, brethren, releases certain things into your life. The devil institutes customs and traditions in our lives. Things that he knows, as long as you keep doing them, you come within the realm of the elements. I don't know if I could talk about that. But let me tell you, the dragon's chief objective is to keep you tied to where now? To the earth. As long as you return in the elements, he has dominion over you. End time or no end time. Dragon knows those who dwell on the earth. So, you know, he has structured this world so that what they call rites of passage, you know, these are rites that human beings do to transit from one phase of life to another. When you are born, the spirits come. They lay claim to you. You know, whether you know it or not, the spirits of this environment lay claim to every one of us. You must settle us before you cross from this place to the other place. So, when a child is born, they tell you the things you must do. In different customs, the same thing. Even up to the name. You know, even end time, brethren, we still do naming, what now? Ceremony. Do you understand the point? People still do it. But if you are a student of, just go and ask your parents. You understand? What is the origin of this? What does it signify? People are baptized Christmas, no be so. They say it is Christ Mass. We celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has nothing to do with it. Are we together? How do you know that the fruit of Christmas is what now? Evident. The worst period of the year is Christmas. More people will die by accident. You understand? More young girls will get pregnant. More people will get drunk. Are you getting my point? Prices of things will go up. You know, and all kinds of things, reveries, all of that. At the end of January, everybody is wiped out. We are celebrating who now? Christ. So, brethren, all of these customs are set, designed. As long as you function within it, you have returned to the beggarly, what now? Elements. And you have returned to bondage. Praise the name of the Lord. when you want to, you know, the next rite after childbirth is puberty rite. Praise the name of the Lord. The things you do to ensure that you have moved from a girl to now, what now? A woman. When you want to marry, then they come with their lists. Praise the name of the Lord. And the things you must do. And everything you're supposed to bring has spiritual, what now? Significance. These are tokens. And tokens speak into the heavens. Do you understand that? Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you want to bury, the same thing. So, marriage has become a place where the enemy waits for us. It becomes a place where he wants to rope you one way or the other. What about the wedding gown? Praise the name of the Lord. You need to ask yourself a question. How that wedding gown, what now, originated. And you don't need to go far. On the internet, you can search it out yourself. Praise the name of the Lord. These were dresses that Vestal virgins used to what now? Used to wear. Do you understand? These Vestal virgins were temple prostitutes. Women dedicated to who now? Ashtate, Aphrodite, Venus, Isis. These are the same spirits with different names in different culture. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you know in those days now marriage was dedicated to these gods? Praise the name of the Lord. You think what you wear doesn't matter. Brethren, do you understand me? It matters. Dress. One day, God will help me to talk about symbolism and color. Do you know that color has power? Do you understand? If I wear red here now, that color has power to provoke certain emotions in you. We have been talking about soul. One day, we'll talk about color and soul. Do you understand? When you wear green, green has a cooling, calming effect. Do you understand that? If you... Are you understanding me? We're not to be ignorant anymore. Praise the name of the Lord. We are to know how our environment is designed by the devil to do what? To affect and what now? Influence us. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Flee idolatry. Those dresses were Vestal virgins. That dress. Now the enemy has tied it up. Wedding gowns are... Some people pay. You know how much they pay for some of these gowns? It is so strong that even among end time brethren, when you finish talking about wedding gown and the sister, somewhere, somehow, do you understand the thing? You don't understand me. The thing will still look like. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. There is still something. Brethren, a woman must look beautiful on her wedding day. Do you understand that? But they can wear good clothes. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God needs to renew what now? Our mind must be renewed. So that you will feel comfortable with what God gives you. Do you understand that? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Of course, confetti. You know what confetti is? Today it is pieces of paper. They take it and there's one they spray now. Have you seen that one? They do like that. Okay, that's another modern form of confetti. You know, in those days, they used to offer grains of rice to who now? Aphrodite. It was a form of, you know, an offering. So when you are going, they throw the grains of rice. He said, may Aphrodite cause your children to be as many as these grains of what now? Of rice. Now, all of these things, they were not psychedelic forms. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, the true spirit behind these things are still there. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that God helps us. Now, you're not only dealing with some of these customs, we're now also dealing with certain practices, even modern, what now, practices that have put us into financial, what now, bondage. And we're so bound to it that we feel if we don't do it, is my case what now? Different. What? Oh, wedding train. Praise the name of the Lord. Wedding what now? Train. No, I won't talk about Ashebi. Praise the name of the Lord. I won't talk about Ashebi. I don't think I should talk about it. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, the wedding train Have you ever watched Olympics? Have you ever watched Olympics? The opening ceremony of what now? Olympics. I have a book. It's as big as this, from here to here. It's titled The Origin of the Olympics. Praise the name of the Lord. You know that if you are a brother with inheritance, you won't attend Olympics. You won't participate in Olympics. It's as that serious. Are we getting my point? Now, the truth is that they have gone back. The Olympic flame is collected from the site of the original temple. Do you understand? That's where they go, and the opening ceremony is done by the same Vestal virgins. You only need to go there and see the dress. It's exactly your wedding dress. These things are not hidden. Praise the name of the Lord. They are there. And you see, you must not come to a point when you are projecting another God instead of who now? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You have become a spy. You are no longer representing Him. You are representing something else. So, brethren, the Lord is saying, come out from what now? Among them. And be what now? Separate. Don't touch the unclean thing. We need to come to the point when we become comfortable. You know, Israel had a problem. God gave them manna. Are you getting my point? That manna was sufficient for them. And for God's sake, the manna was sweet. They could bake it. They could roast it. They could fry it. Do you understand that? It's something that God gave you, He packaged it very well. But somehow, it just was not enough. And they went into other things. Praise the name of the Lord. What I'm going to tell you, brethren, is that if you are getting married, you need to pray. Praise the name of the Lord. It's important that you pray and decide that the purpose of this marriage is to honor and glorify God. That is where our life has come to. It's no longer a question of being lovers of pleasure more than what now? Lovers of God. Jesus said, I did not come to please myself. Amen. Amen. If we have not come to that point, then we should not be talking end time. Amen. God is looking for a people whom He will do what now? Present. And say, look at them. Amen. These are my people. And the enemy will say, eh? Let me see. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, brethren, in our marriage, there was something Brabos said. We should be seeking who now? God. If we seek God first, other things will flow. If perchance it does not please God that you should marry, it should not detract you from your what now? Inheritance. Are we together? You see, we live in a time. Look, having a challenge in terms of childbearing, now we learned a lot of things. Every kind of person came to us with all kinds of offers, suggestions, solutions, all kinds. I have to come to a point and say, God, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The first point is that we must do God's will. Are we together, brethren? If you do not come to that point, you will be swayed. I've seen sisters who said, well, you don't have to marry from this place. Today, they're not talking anything about this word now. Word. In fact, if you try to share this word, they become hostile. Do you understand the point? Because something within our conscience, you understand, gets affected. You have to decide for yourself what is more important. It's a choice, a decision. Every one of us must what now? Make. What is more important to you? Most of us have not seen the inheritance. You know, a lot of the questions, when somebody asks the question, you can tell where the person's heart is what now is going. You can tell maybe that somebody has already seen somebody in an Anglican church. No problem with Anglican church. There are born again Christians there. Do you understand? But if you look at the tabernacle, you will see that there are different levels. Jesus said so. He said, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. You will choose where you want to dwell. He said, but my ultimate desire for you is that realm where I am, that is where I also want you to be. If you make up your mind that this is where you want to go, brethren, there are certain hard decisions you may have to make along the way. Praise the name of the Lord. The gospel has been turned around. it looks like it's all about what you can get from God, what you can get from God, what you can get from God. And so suddenly, if God doesn't give you, you feel that God is not what now? A good God. But God is putting the gospel back again. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are laying down what now? Our lives. If it pleases the Lord to raise us up, fine. If it does not please Him, fine. Until we come to that point. This is the burden of this camp meeting has been consecration, sanctification. So you have decisions to make. And in everything we do, in the relationships that we are carrying on, you must make up your mind about that. Praise the name of the Lord. In your home, you must make up your mind about that. Praise the name of the Lord. That we have to come to this point. You know, when we come to this point, some of the questions will cease. Some of the issues will what now? Cease. Some of the, you know, dragons will cease. Because men have come to a place of laying down their crowns before the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Brethren, I just pray that these things, you know, have touched our hearts. God wants a people of glory. A people of glory. A people of testimony. It's enough that we call ourselves end time. And our homes do not reflect it. Our lives do not reflect it. Our talking do not reflect it. Our dressing do not reflect it. You know, at a point, we're almost afraid to talk about dressing. Because people were feeling that we are just being extremists. But you see, God began to speak to us about the priesthood. Amen. The priest's dressing. You understand? The Lord designed it for him. Amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.